Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalters to page 37 in the back section. Page 37, this is Lord's Day 29. This morning I will read for you the questions and answers. I encourage you to follow along in the back of the Psalter, page 39. Question 78, are the bread and wine changed into the real body and blood of Christ? And the answer is no. Just as the water of baptism is not changed into Christ's blood and does not itself wash away sins, but is simply God's sign and assurance, so too the bread of the Lord's Supper is not changed into the actual body of Christ, even though it is called the body of Christ, in keeping with the nature and language of sacraments. Why then does Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood? Paul uses the words a participation in Christ's body and blood. Christ has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that as bread and wine nourish our temporal life, so too his crucified body and poured out blood truly nourish our souls for eternal life. But more important, he wants to assure us by this visible sign and pledge that we, through the Holy Spirit's work, share in his true body and blood, as surely as our mouths receive these holy signs in his remembrance, and that all of his suffering and obedience are as definitely ours as if we personally had suffered and paid for our sins. Well, this morning, once again, we turn to a discussion of the Lord's Supper. We had the great privilege last Lord's Day of celebrating communion together, and we talked about Lord's Day 28 and about Christ and the Supper. Today we again talk about the Lord's Supper, and Lord willing, next Sunday as well. The Catechism spends three Lord's Days dealing with the Lord's Supper. Some of the longest questions and answers are found in this section of the Catechism. Now, I suspect if we were to write a catechism today, we probably wouldn't take eight different long questions and answers just about the Lord's Supper. We'd probably talk about things like the gifts of the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. We talk about what is proper worship, eight questions on proper worship. But at the time the catechism is being written, this is the central issue of the day. This is what divided, one of the things that divided the Protestant Church from the Catholic Church. A proper understanding of what takes place at the Lord's Supper. And when Jesus speaks in John 6, it was this the eating of his flesh, the drinking of his blood, that confuse the Jews. How is it possible we can drink his blood? How is it possible we can eat his flesh? And I would suggest that we too need continuing instruction in what it means to celebrate the Lord's Supper properly. What did we mean when we say Jesus is the bread of life? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Children, it's my regular practice to give an outline on the back of the liturgy. And I'll usually give you a couple points on that outline. And sometimes, it's not so much this morning, but sometimes the words on that outline are kind of big. So this morning I want to give you, children, just three simple words. This is the outline of the whole sermon. The first point is about Jesus. The second point is about bread. And the third point is about life. Oh, it doesn't get any easier than that. So when you go home today and you're having lunch and mom and dad ask you, what did Reverend Niemeyer talk about this morning? You tell him, Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus Christ is present at the Lord's Supper. He is there, really. Now, none of the reformers questioned that Christ was present at the table. In fact, the Catholic Church did not question that Christ was present at the table. The question was, how is he present? In what way is Christ there with the bread and the wine as the body and blood? The Roman Catholic Church believed and believes that the bread and the wine become the actual body and blood of Christ. For those of you who like big theological words, that's called transubstantiation. That the substance actually changes. That the bread, when consecrated, becomes the body of Christ. That the wine, when consecrated, becomes the blood of Christ. And I think we have to in some ways grant our Catholic friends, theirs is the clearest reading of the text. Jesus said, "This is my body." He didn't say this symbolizes my body. He didn't say this represents my body. He said, "This is my body." However, if we think just a little bit more, we know that Jesus in the Last Supper did not take a piece of his flesh and say, "This is my body." He took a piece of bread. The bread and the wine do not become the body and blood of Christ. The bread and the wine are not somehow magically, mystically transformed into the body and blood of Christ. The Lutherans believe that Christ was present at the supper, although not in a changed substance like the Roman Catholics. The Lutherans still wanted in some way to have Christ physically present. They have a view that is called consubstantiation. And the phrase we often use to describe the Lutheran view is Christ is in, with, and under the bread. He is all around it. Physically, bodily. And it's as if the Lutherans didn't quite make a big enough reformation from the Catholic Church. They still wanted Christ somehow physically present in the elements. The Reformed position, the biblical position, is that Christ is not physically present at the table, but he is spiritually present. Well, you say, what difference does it make? Because when we want to have Christ be physically present in the elements, when we want him there physically in front of us, what we are doing is we are saying, Christ, we are going to take you down from heaven and bring your body back here with us. Whereas the glory of the supper is that Christ, by his Spirit, does not come down from heaven bodily, but he takes us up spiritually. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are spiritually lifted into heaven itself. That's where we celebrate, where Christ is. We do not drag him down from heaven once again, but he in his glory lifts us up. His body and blood in the supper, lifting us up by his Spirit, Christ's spiritual presence.
That's what we mean when we say Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus here, spiritually present in the sacrament, to take us and lift us to heaven itself, where we commune with Him. He is not physically present, but don't make the mistake. He is really present. He is really present by His Spirit. Sometimes when a loved one passes away, we comfort those who are left behind by saying, as long as you remember them, they're not really gone. And there is a certain truth to that. But that's not the case in the Lord's Supper. Christ is not here simply as a remembrance. Oh, He says, do this in remembrance of me, but He is not here simply because we remember. He is here because by His Spirit, He is really present. Not the physical presence, but the real presence of Christ at the supper. As a reminder to us, He's always with us. Always with us by the power of His Spirit. The Lord's Supper we do on a regular basis to remind us of Christ's presence at the table and Christ's ongoing presence in our life. When we are facing a difficult challenge at work, when we're facing a hard test at school, Christ present with us, spiritually present, to encourage us, to strengthen us for the tasks that we've been given. Jesus present at the table spiritually. And Jesus, in describing His presence in the Lord's Supper, uses such graphic language. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 55, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Jesus uses this very graphic language to describe what is going on. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Is there any wonder that the early Christians were accused of being cannibals with language like this? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. But Jesus here uses language that is picturesque to help us understand what's going on. It is sacramental language. In the sacrament, we describe something as if it is actually the case when it is something that signifies the case, which is why Jesus says, this is my body, because He speaks sacramental language. This is my blood. It's not actually His blood, but it is a true reminder of who He is and what He does. Christ gave us a real sign, a sign we could taste, a sign we could touch, a sign we could smell, a sign we could look at. It is a sensory experience to remind us of the truth of what He has done. The language itself speaks about bread. Jesus, the bread for us. Our confession asks in question 78, are the bread and wine changed to the real body and blood of Christ? No, they are not. Just as the water of baptism is not changed to Christ's blood and does not itself wash away sins, but is simply a sign and assurance, so to the bread. It's not actually changed to the body of Christ, even though it is called the body of Christ, in keeping with the nature and language of sacrament. So it doesn't trouble us when Jesus says, this is my body, for He is speaking of a sacrament. It doesn't trouble us when we say the water of baptism washes away sins, because we're speaking sacramental language. But remember that. These are signified in the language, a picture of washing, a picture of strengthening, a picture of food and drink, my bread, my blood, my body, and the wine. And Jesus says, this bread that you eat, this bread that we're talking about, is necessary for you. Verse 53. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Unless you eat His flesh, unless you drink His blood, you have no life. Question 79. Why then does Christ call the bread His body and the cup His blood? Christ has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that as bread and wine nourish our temporal life, so too His crucified body and poured out blood truly nourish our souls for eternal life. The bread is a reminder. It is a reminder that we need to eat and drink, and just as surely as bread and wine strengthen us physically, so we are spiritually strengthened. It is the true bread from heaven, the true body of Christ. And Jesus then contrasts that with the other bread from heaven. He talks about the manna. Verse 48, I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Remember the story of the manna, children? How the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, and they were hungry. And there seemed to be no food around. And God provided bread. Bread from heaven. What a miracle. This stuff comes down. This manna is found all over the ground. And this bread from heaven, they can just go and they can pick up and eat wherever they find it. It was a glorious gift of God. Imagine today. We got up this morning. It was kind of foggy outside. Imagine if as that fog lifted, you saw bread on the grass outside your house. Wow, that'd be cool. Bread on the ground. Bread from heaven. But as amazing as that is, Jesus reminds them, they ate that bread and they died. They had this glorious gift of God, this bread from heaven, this miracle. They ate that bread and they died. Jesus says, when you partake of me, when you eat the true bread of life, you will never die. How much more glorious. The Old Testament gives us pictures, gives us shadows, gives us pointers forward to the work of Christ. It is seen in the manna, bread from heaven. And yet Jesus says, this bread that comes down from heaven, that one eat of it and he will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Christ is the real bread from heaven, the reality. And by partaking of that bread and only that bread, do we have the hope of eternal life. Oh, there are lots of other things we can partake of in the world. Lots of other things that might seem to satisfy us spiritually. But unless you are partaking, unless you are taking in this true bread, this real bread, this bread from heaven, there is no life. It's like all that manna. It may seem glorious, it may seem great, but you will die unless you partake of the body and blood of Christ. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This bread is given for you, for everyone who will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you are here this morning and you have not yet acknowledged your need for a real meal, your need to truly eat and drink, you're left with manna, death. But Christ gives life. We are assured He gives life in this glorious symbol of eating and drinking. Just as surely as the bread and wine strengthen me physically, so I am spiritually strengthened. I am given eternal life. Not just life for now, but life for later. Verse 54. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Assurance. Assurance of salvation. If we partake of the body and blood of Christ, He will raise us up. Oh, we will still die physically, but we will be spiritually with our Lord. There is no true death for those who are in Christ Jesus.
raised up on that last day to eternal life, a glorious feast to share in the banquet of our God. The Scriptures use that picture of a banquet in heaven. Remember the context of John 6. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. That's the context of this discussion of the bread of life. That miracle of feeding the 5,000 is the only feeding miracle that's recorded in all the Gospels. And so he wants you to say, you think that was great, feeding 5,000 of you. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. I have the bread of life. The bread that will give you not just life for today, a meal for tomorrow, but eternal life with me forever. Our confession says, Christ wants to assure us. He wants to remind us, 79, to assure us by this visible sign and pledge that we, through the Holy Spirit's work, share in His true body and blood, as surely as our mouths receive these holy signs in His remembrance, and that all of His suffering and obedience are as definitely ours as if we personally had suffered and paid for our sins. All of His suffering, all of His obedience, ours when we partake by faith. The suffering of Christ was not on His behalf. He did not have to suffer for His sins. He suffered for the sins of His people, for those who confess Him as Lord and Savior. And all of His obedience, His obedience as well, granted and credited to you. That's the amazing thing that I just can't get over with regard to salvation. It's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ has died to pay for my sins. That's a glorious truth. But beyond that, all of His obedience credited to my account as if I had been obedient. When God sees us, it is not as if we are just not sinners anymore. But He sees us as perfectly righteous because of Christ. All of His suffering, all of His obedience, as definitely ours, as if we personally suffered and paid for our sins. The glory of the assurance of salvation, our sins taken away, and Christ's righteousness given to us. A glorious hope for the future. And an assurance for us right now. Sometimes we say, you know, how can we know that we're going to be with Christ in heaven? How can we know we have eternal life? Don't we have to wait till we die to find out for sure? How can we really be sure now? When people ask that question, we want to take them to John 6, verse 47. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. It doesn't say whoever believes will have eternal life. You have to hope for it yet. Whoever believes has eternal life. If you are here this morning and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to wonder what will happen after death. If you believe, you have life eternal. That's the glory of the reminder of the supper, that we take and eat regularly and we are strengthened right now. Right now with that glorious bread from heaven. Right now, life eternal that will go on forever. Jesus abides with us. Verse 56, whoever feeds my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Jesus abides with you. He stays with you today. On this Lord's Day, He goes with you tomorrow to the classroom, to the office, to the field, in the home. Jesus abides with you. A reminder of His continual presence by the power of His Holy Spirit. That's what we mean when we say Jesus is the bread of life. He is that true bread that came down from heaven. He is that glorious bread given to us to feed us and to strengthen us for life in the future and for life now in every part of everything we do, knowing that He assures us
You belong to me, and I will abide with you. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God,